Helplessly, choicelessly, naturally, we mistake this universe to be absolutely real. We see this world, we experience this world, we enjoy this world, we perceive this world, so it seems to be very, very real for us. Of course, it is not unreal at all. At the same time, it is not absolutely real also. And we mistake this world to be absolutely real. So what do we do? When we mistake it to be absolutely real, what is the problem? It is not absolutely real, but we mistake it to be absolutely real. Thereby what happens? We mistake the universe, this world, to be source of happiness and security. That is the problem. We mistake this world to be source of happiness. We mistake this world to be source of security. Thereby we become dependent on the world for our happiness and security. This dependence upon the world for our happiness and security is dependence, in fact bondage. It is emotional dependence. Of course, physically, life is interdependent. It is impossible to live by yourself. Life is interdependence, but emotionally we become dependent. The emotional dependency is bondage. That is how there is suffering, that is why there is misery, that is why there is pain. And if we have to shift our dependence from the world to something else, we should know the fact, what is that which is a source of happiness and security. And we should also know the fact that the world is not a source of happiness and security. because the world is not at all real. It is seemingly real. It is mithya. It does not have independent existence of its own. Therefore, if we have to understand this entire world is mithya, it is seemingly real, it is not absolutely real, thereby to shift our dependence from the world to shift the dependence on the world, we must know what is absolutely real. Therefore, it is said, discover that absolute reality, thereby understand this world being empirically real, the world being mithya. This understanding the world being mithya, by discovering what is absolutely real, is said in the first verse. And absolute reality alone is meant by the word ish, eat. Now we saw that. And there again, that reality need not be searched anywhere. It has to be discovered as one's own self, one's own essential nature. At the very essential nature of the individual in one's own mind. So by discovering the truth obtaining as one's own self, thereby understanding this entire objective universe including one's body, mind, sense complex. The entire objective universe including one's body, mind, sense complex being mithya. Is called Achadanam, covering the world. Covering the world, we saw very clearly, it is not physically covering, understanding the mithyatvam, understanding the fact about the world that it is not real. So we were reading the Bhashyam, and that is made at Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary. Bhashyam makes it very clear. When he said everything has to be covered by the vision of the reality, the Atma, everything has to be negated as mithya. And Shankara Bhagavatpada makes it clear in his Bhashyam, Svena Atmana Ishena. It's very important. Svena Atmana Ishena. That Isha. No? That Isha. That Lord, that reality, Lord in the form of reality, or reality which is looked upon as Ishvara, that reality is not elsewhere. As one's obtaining as one's own self. One's own self, Svena Atmana. One has to be discovered, and in the light of the knowledge of the truth obtaining as one's own self, one has to see this entire objective universe, including one's body, mind, sense complex, being mithya. Okay. Thereby, we shift our dependence from the world, mithya world, to satya atma. When you shift the dependence from the mithya world to satya atma, you are self-dependent. Okay, from dependence upon the world to dependence upon one's own self. In self-dependence, there is freedom. In world-dependence, there is bondage. In world, when you are dependent on the world, there will be disappointment, because world is not the source of happiness and security. There will be pain, there will be grief, there will be suffering. In self-dependence, there is freedom. Okay? So self-knowledge is self-dependence. Self-dependence is freedom. Whereas world dependence is bondage. In ignorance, you are dependent on the world. Your perception of the world is different. Now you change your perception. The world is no more real, it is mithya. How is it possible? Because you have discovered, when you discover what is real, and the world being mithya will become clear. Isn't it? Then you change your perspective. Okay, next we'll read that. We're continuing. And how should we discover the Atma? How can we discover it? How can we discover Ishvara? How can we discover Ishaha? How can we discover Paramatma? How can we discover Parameshwara? Why I am saying all these names? Shankara Bhagavatpada mentions all these names. How can we discover the truth? Isn't it? That is said in the following. We'll understand here in the Bhashya. Yatha Chandana Agarvadehe Udakadi Sambandhaja Kledadijam Aupadikam Daugandhyam Tat Swarupa Nigharshanena Nigharshanena Achadyate Svena Paramarthikena Gandhena. Let me explain everything here. Shankara Bhagavatpada gives a beautiful example. Chandanam means sandal. Agaru is another wood, type of wood. This Chandanam and Agaru, they're all woods. You know, they are naturally fragrant. That's why we keep sandal paste is used for all the pujas. The sandal wood is naturally of fragrance. So also another plant variety called agaru. The botanical name of agaru I do not know. Better understand agaru. Agaru is a wood-like sandal. So chandana agaru adehe means this sandal wood or agaru wood. No? All this, suppose a piece of sandal wood or agar, the wood agaru. Udakam means water. Udakadi sambandhaja. You suppose a piece of sandalwood or this agaru, piece of agaru, if we put it in water, or if it is placed in water, or if it has some connection with the water, contact with the water. Udakadi sambandhaja. When this wood, piece of wood, put in water, or fallen in water, leave it, then remaining in the water for some time, what happens? There is some form of coating gets, no, the as type of coating gets formed on this wood. Some form of encrustation. And this is not actually, this encrustation causes some foul smell. Some foul smell. The sandalwood, which is naturally fragrant, which has fragrance as its innate nature, now has its foul smell, stinking, daurgandhyam. Now I can tell you, I decided today, I won't tell you every word. Durgandhaha means foul smell. Daurgandhyam, noun. Okay, having noun form of this. Daurgandhyam, foul smell. And this is not its innate. The sandal wood does not have daurgandhyam as its innate nature, natural smell, but is aupadhikam. Aupadhikam means incidental. Swabhavikam, natural. What is swabhavikam? What is natural for a sandalwood? Sugandhaha. Sugandhaha, fragrance, sweet fragrance is a natural innate one. Daurgandhyam or Durgandhaha, foul smell is aupadhikam, incidental. The incidental foul smell, incidental nature, innate nature. Or incidental, no? How did it come? Because of its association with water. Udakadi sambandhaja. This foul smell is born of its contact with the water. Sambandena jayate. Sambandena jatam daurgandhyam. And kledajam, because it's wetness. There's a foul smell. And what happens now? We want to get rid of this foul smell. What should we do? How can you get rid of this foul smell? Do we need to make the sandalwood fragrant? Do we need to make it fragrant? It doesn't need to become fragrant. It's already fragrant. But now fragrance is not there. This foul smell is there. Because purely because of its association with the water, isn't it? So if the foul smell has to go, now we have to scrub and rub. The encrustation on the top of this wood has to be removed. If you remove, scrub it, rub it, then rub and rub and rub, then the encrustation will go, foul smell also will go. But how does our foul smell go? When you are scrubbing it, the natural fragrance which is already there becomes manifest. You do not drive away the foul smell. Okay? You just scrub the encrustation. You scrub the, rub it, rub it. It's called a nigharshanam. Nigharshanam means rubbing. When you rub and scrub the thing, the sweet fragrance, the pleasant smell, which is the nature of the sandalwood, becomes manifest. Once the fragrance comes and foul smell becomes covered, it means what? Foul smell disappears. Here. Similarly here, we need not attain fullness. We need not, cannot attain happiness. We need not attain ananda. we not attain peace. The peace, the absolute peace, the happiness, fullness is already there as the very nature of reality, the essential nature of the self. As the Swarupam of the Atma, Anandaha is already there. But now what is there? Isn't it? There is Dukkham, pain, suffering, samsara. Put one word, samsara means, it means all forms of afflictions. Samsara means experience of pairs of opposites, undesirable situations, pain, loss, etc. Then this again birth and death, old age, all sorts of problems, impurities, everything. So here, the sandalwood, the fragrance, sandalwood is likened to, or Atma is likened to sandalwood. And the foul smell, samsara is likened to foul smell. Samsara is likened to foul smell. Now for Atma Swarupam to become manifest and samsara foul smell to go, okay, so the natural innate sandal fragrance has to cover this foul smell. Cover means what? It has to be eliminated. Foul smell has to be eliminated by manifestation of the natural fragrance. Similarly, our own natural discovery of our nature, our nature in terms of happiness, fullness, Atma Swarupam has to remove this samsara. So happiness is not attained, but once happiness becomes manifest, fullness becomes manifest, The limitations caused bondage, samsara, all forms of problems will disappear. Is it clear? But our own Swarupam has to become manifest. It has to become clear. What should we do? Rabbing. Nigarshanam. And what is Nigarshanam here? Shravanam. Mananam Nididhyasanam is the rubbing. So systematically listening to the unfoldment of the Upanishad Vedantic texts for length of time from a competent teacher with a commitment, na? Systematically studying is Shravanam. Shravanam is a gerund, listening. So listening to the teaching, unfoldment of the Vedantic texts, the words of the Shastram, systematically, regularly, consistently, continuously for length of time is Shravanam. It's a discipline. And definitely listening will help you understand what you are not, thereby it help you understand what you are. Okay? What Atma is not, listening, when you do Shravanam, Shravanam will help you understand what Atma is not first. By helping you understand what Atma is not, Shravanam will help you arrive at what Atma is. When you say Shravanam will help you, Shravanam means listening to the unfold systematic study of the scriptures. Will help you understand first what Atma is not, will help you understand, then thereby help you understand what Atma is means, it helps you understand what I is not. then thereby it will help you understand what I is, what I am. Thereby, Shravana will help you understand how the truth of I, obtaining as the essential nature of individual being, in terms of Atma, is the same truth of everything else. It will become very clear. Shravanam will bless you with Jnanam. Okay? When you do Shravanam, this is when you start your rubbing. Even after Shravanam, ignorance will resolve. Knowledge, thus definite knowledge will take place. You will understand definitely everything known is different from, okay, the I am the knower. With reference to this objective universe, I am the knower. I, the knower, am distinct from the known objective world. And this my own body being an object of knowledge, my own sense organs being objects of knowledge, my own object organs of actions being objects of knowledge, the physiological functions being objects of knowledge, including my mind and intellect, all the varieties of thoughts, including ahankara, the knowledge, even I am, all these thoughts which constitute the mind, all of them are also what? Objects of knowledge. This entire body, mind, sense complex also is to be included in this objective universe. I, the knower, am distinct from the known objective universe, which is inclusive of my body, mind, sense complex. The understanding does take place. And that I, the knower, if you look, you know, search for who this knower is, who is this knower who knows the waking state of the mind, who knows the dream state of the mind, who knows the deep sleep state of the mind. This changing three states of mind are mutually exclusive, discontinuous. Who is this knower? Unchanging, without undergoing any changes. Being aware of these three states of experience, who is this knower? Definitely the knower is distinct from the known, isn't it? Known changing states of mind, states of experience. If you see, that knower is none other than the truth. That knower is the truth. Take it for, there is a knower. And that knower is distinct from the known deep sleep state of mind. The knower is distinct from the waking state of mind. The knower is distinct from the dream state of mind. Mind alone obtains in three different states. That mind is known. The mind itself is very subtle. And the knower of the mind is much subtler than the mind. There is a knower distinct. The knower does not undergo any change. The knower continues to be the same without coming, without going, without changing. Always there present, knowing the changing, mutually exclusive, discontinuous states of mind. And each state of mind is a state of experience. That experiential knower is distinct from the mind. Always there. In deep sleep state, nothing is there. There is knower knowing the deep nothingness. In dream, there is knower, the same knower experiencer is there in dream, knowing the dream. Because of the presence of which the dream can be narrated later on waking you from sleep. The same knower is there in the waking state, who is able to recollect the past experiences. And who is this knower? English being the knower has no form. The knower is the formless reality. And why does the reality know? Knowing is the Swarupam nature. Can you ever ask, why does the sun illumine everything? Who illumines everything here? Who is the illuminator of this, all these opaque things here? Sun. And why does the sun illumine everything here? Illumining is not an action, that's the nature, Swarupam. Illumining is the Swarupam of the sun. Illumining is the nature of the light. The light doesn't do any action to bring everything to light. Similarly, knowing is the Swarupam of the truth. And you only understand this knower, you arrive at the knower only in terms of its nature of knowing. Okay? No form. And no sense power is needed to know who this knower is. Is there knower or not? To know the knower, there is knower, you don't need any instrument of knowledge. Okay, it is clear. And that knower is knowledge, the reality, pure knowledge, pure consciousness implied by the term Atma. There's no, okay, that Atma is Yit, Ishaha, Parameshwara. And the same consciousness which you stumble upon as the witness of the mind. Is actually Atma of all the beings, Sarva Jantunam Atma. Okay? This knowledge definitely takes place when you do Shravanam. So first rubbing is done. I'm quickly complete doing it. I'm not. When you do repeatedly listen to the unfoldment of the text systematically, knowledge does take place. Ignorance does resolve. But still, there will be many doubts. Doubts will be there simultaneously. Because you are exposed to a certain way of teaching. And there are also other people of different schools of thought. They all have their own thinking. They come out with their own views. And when they come and present their views, your understanding may get shaken. Any number of people can have any number of views of what the reality is, what Atma is. But your understanding must be firm. Your understanding must be based on your reasoning. Because it does not, your understanding is not contradicted by your reasoning. Then it is a firm understanding, isn't it? So people of different schools of thought or different views or different cultural background, they may come with their own views. And when you happen to listen to them, you may get confused. Or your understanding may be shaken. So if your understanding should not be shaken, you must know your, what you understood is clear. Your understanding, your knowledge of Atma, knowledge of reality must be very firm. It must be unshakably firm, doubt free, clear understanding. That is why Shastram prescribes another step, which is called Mananam. Okay, Shravanam is your first exposure to the teaching. You do it for a length of time. Then Mananam, reliving Shravanam, repeatedly listening again and again, and then thereby being convinced of your understanding, having your doubts resolved, is Mananam. Okay, so Ajnana Nivritti happens by Shravanam. When Mananam, Samshaya Nivritti happens by Mananam. Okay? Shravanam is for ajnana nivrittihi. Mananam, another step which is again repeatedly listening and reflecting upon what has been heard and understood, thereby having your doubts resolved, is mananam. Okay, next step. Once you have clear understanding, now no more doubts also. Your understanding is really firm. But still, this knowledge which you have, clear knowledge which you have now, can be forgotten. Sometimes you understand very clearly, doubtlessly. Still, it is possible for you to forget. It may not be handy, available for you when you really need it. For which, Shastram teaches one more step in pursuit of knowledge, which is called Nididhyasanam, contemplation. So what to have clearly understood must be repeatedly dwelt upon in order for you to have it assimilated, ascertained. It's always there handy, you never forget it. You know, first somebody comes and tells you, hey, what is this water? What is the truth? The wave is mithya, ocean is mithya. Then again you may have, again repeatedly think about, you got convinced, yes, water is satyam, wave is mithya, ocean is mithya. And afterwards repeatedly for some time, not to forget it. After having clearly, doubtlessly understood, you dwell upon this fact. What is a fact? You are not mechanically thinking and repeatedly dwelling upon it. You are clearly thinking upon it. As wave is water, water is satyam, wave is mithya. Water is satyam, water is satyam, wave is mithya. With reference to ocean, water is satyam, wave is mithya. Repeatedly dwell upon the fact what has been already clearly understood. The repeatedly dwelling upon the fact is contemplation. And it is called Nididhyasanam. Okay? So, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam is what now? Like this, it is rubbing. Repeatedly rub it. Then what happens? Shravana, the rubbing of Shravana Manani Dhyasanam brings what? Your real nature becomes very clear. Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Atma, I, the knower, am consciousness. Beginningless, endless, changeless, all pervasive, only secondless, non-dual reality, which is the existence of everything, which is of the nature of fullness. I myself am Atma, Aham Atma, I am Atma. Okay. And of course, I am endowed with the body, mind, sense complex. There is no doubt about it. And the standpoint of body, mind, sense complex, I am distinct from the world, different from the world. World is different from me. But still, essentially, I am Atma, the truth of the whole. There is no world which exists outside of me, the Atma, the consciousness. A different perspective. So this has to become very clear. When it becomes, then what happens? The fullness, the happiness, the essential nature, the Atma, is manifest. So in the light of the manifestation of knowledge of what you are essentially, all the wrong notions you have about yourself. Aham karta, aham bhokta, aham dukhi, aham sukhi, I am suffering. All the wrong notions you have about yourself resolve. Aham karta resolves, aham bhokta resolves, aham dukhi, aham unhappy resolves. Isn't it? All the wrong notions resolve. Not only along with the wrong notions, what happens? The common human fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy centered on I resolves. When a sense of inadequacy, sense of smallness centered on I resolves, because no identity, as long as identity with the body, mind is complex, you can't help having all wrong notions. When all those resolves, the inadequacy resolves, even the fundamental disease resolves. So jealousy, hatred, anger, fear, anxiety, they're all symptoms of the problem, the disease of sense of smallness centered on I. All of them resolve naturally. You don't push anything away, they disappear. They disappear. The samsara resolves. Samsara goes. Like foul smell disappears. It's called covering the foul smell by bringing the natural fragrance outside by rubbing. Similarly, the whole samsara will be resolved. How? By bringing your own real nature to manifestation by discovering the truth obtained as your own self. Is it clear? It's a beautiful example, isn't it? So it is said, Chandana Agarvade, Agarvadehe, Chandana Agarvadehe, Udakadi Sambandhaja, Kledadija, Kledadijam, Aupadhikam Daurgandhyam, Tat Swarupa Nighashanena Achadyate, by bringing the natural fragrance of sandalwood to manifestation by scrubbing. Similarly, Svena Paramarthikena Gandhena. Isn't it? It's like you said, if it's natural fragrance, Tadvadeva, let us see next sentence, Tadvadevahi. Tadvadevahi means in the same way. Swatmani.
Swatmani.
Adhyastam.
Adhyastam.
Swabhavikam.
Swabhavikam.
Kartrutva.
Kartrutva.
Bhoktrutvadilakshanam.
Bhoktrutvadilakshanam.
Jagadvaitarupam.
Jagadvaitarupam.
So what he says, similarly, Swatmani Adhyastam. There is a superimposition of limitations of anatma upon atma. See, natural, the ignorance is natural. Ignorance is not created. There's, you know you are, but why you do not know you are what you are? It is not your crime. You have not created the ignorance. The ignorance is natural. Swabhavikam. Because of this ignorance, which is naturally there, helplessly the body, mind, sense complex, the I sense is associated with the body, mind, sense complex. I sense cannot exist by itself independently, hang around somewhere. For the I sense to become manifest, there must be mind, the body, mind, sense complex. So I sense is inseparable from the body mind sense complex. At the same time, it is not distant from the body mind sense complex, but it is distinct from the body mind sense complex. Not distant, but distinct. But what we do, this I is identified with the body mind sense complex. That is Dehatma Buddhihi. Dehe Atma Buddhihi. I sense in the body, I sense in the mind, I sense in sense organs. I is located all over. Isn't it? This is called mistaking the anatma, the non-self, for the self. Okay? Taking the body, mind, sense complex to be the meaning of the word I. Then what happens once the body, mind, sense complex is taken to be the I, meaning of the word I? Mistake is all anatma. Anything other than atma, everything else is anatma. So anatma, body maintenance complex, the anatma body maintenance complex is mistaken for the atma. Then everything has its own limitation. Body has its own problems. Body has its own attributes. Mind has its own attributes. So limitations of body, mind, sense complex. See, body has birth, body has death, body is subject to change, body is subject to get old, body ages, body is subject to fall sick. So body has all the limitations and problems. Mind has its own problems. So the limitations of body, mind, sense complex become superimposed upon Atma. So when you mistake the body minus complex for the self, it is called adhyasaha. Then the limitations of anatma become superimposed upon the atma, it is called adhyaropaha. Adhyaropaha. Is it clear? Once your limitations are superimposed upon the atma, then what do we do? Then you have the notion. Body is mortal, you think I am a mortal. Body has birth, it is I was born. Body is going to die, fall apart, I am going to die. I am old. I am young. I am sick. I am hungry. I am angry. So I is identified with the pranas, the mind, body, everywhere. Therefore, the limitations of anatma become superimposed upon the atma, which is called adhyaropaha. See the order now. Ajnanam, ignorance first. You do not know what I is. That's called ajnanam. Natural. And because of ajnanam, there is adhyasaha. Adhyasaha means erroneous self-perception. You mistake the anatma for the atma. Then adhyaropaha, superimposition. Adhyasa leads to adhyaropaha, the superimposition of limitations of anatma upon the atma. Actually, atma is of the nature of limitlessness, timelessness, fullness. But what happens? But whereas anatma is subject to limitations. Anatma has time limitation, spatial limitation, object limitation. So limitations of anatma, body, mind, sense complex, become superimposed upon the atma, which is called adhyaropaha. One, the limitations are superimposed upon the atma, and there are notions come. Okay? Notions. Wrong notions naturally come in the form of thoughts. We entertain wrong notions about the self. I am a mortal. I am unhappy. So anything you add to I am is what? Expression of wrong notion you entertain about yourself, which is called ahankara. Okay, I is what? Knowledge. Knowledge. Expression of knowledge. I, first person singular pronoun, is beautiful. It's expression of knowledge used by every individual to refer to one's own self. I. Am, I am, is expression of knowledge of existence of one's own self. Beautiful. But anything you add to I am is what? Ahankara. I am Brahma Asmi is knowledge, total knowledge. Anything you add, I am tall, I am short, I am fat, I am upset, I am sad, I am ugly, I am intelligent, I am, no? Anything add to I am is relatively maybe right, but absolutely it is wrong. Shastram says it is a wrong notion every individual entertains about oneself based on one's erroneous perception of perception. All the notions you entertain about yourself are based on the erroneous perception. Is it clear? It's called ahankara. Remember the order. Usually I teach these things in the very introductory basic class. I'm teaching you here because I understand, I thought it would make it very clear. These are my basic class lessons, I'm mixing up with the Upanishad class. So, Ajnanam is the cause of Adhyasa. Adhyasa is the cause of Adhyaropa. Adhyaropa is the cause of Ahankara. Now, once you have a wrong, you entertain wrong notion about yourself, not that you want to entertain wrong notion about yourself, helplessly, choicelessly, naturally, there are wrong, every individual entertains wrong notions about oneself. Therefore, what happens, it results in common human fundamental problem. Is it? I am inadequate in terms of knowledge, in terms of looks, in terms of position, in terms of possession. I am inadequate. I am small. I am insignificant. I am unhappy. They're all notions, not just you have, I'm saying entire humanity, every individual human being has these notions. Everyone has. That's why we call it this sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of insecurity, centered on I. Is a common human fundamental problem. It is not one person's problem. Okay, the entire humanity sails in the same boat with reference to this common human with particular problem. That is why we call it a common human fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of insecurity centered on I. Then what happens? One sense of inadequacy, smallness is there, centered on I. That is how the desire comes. Common human fundamental desire crisis. Now you can ask the question, what is that which causes the desire? What is this phenomenon called desire? Where does it rise from? Why there is desire at all? Why did Bhagavan create this desire? We have to understand we are not creating anything here. Okay, desire is one of the natural phenomenon which is there as part of every individual. How this is externally, this is your part. Okay, hair, your nail is part of your body, is part of you. Similarly, desire is a natural phenomenon which is part of an individual, which is in the form of a thought. See, because of this notion, I am a mortal, I am going to die. Is that we don't think about death every day, but in the subconscious, there's naturally, heart of the heart, that definitely there is this notion, I am a mortal, I am going to die. Strong notion, isn't it? Because of your identity, with a strong identity, abhimana with the body. It is not that you want to have identity, helplessly there is identity. Is it clear? Therefore, this notion, I am a mortal, results in what? The rising of the desire. I want to be bigger than, different from what I am. So I want to live long. I want to live long, happily. I want to live first this year. I want to live long, and I want to live long, happily. This is what is it, common human fundamental desire. Why does this desire come? Because of the wrong notion that I am a mortal. If this desire, if the wrong notion is corrected, this desire will resolve. When will the wrong notion resolve? I am a mortal notion will resolve only when you correct the error in your perception of what you are. As long as you think you are body, you are the body, I is identified with the body, you think I am a body, you will have this wrong notion. When you cognitively shift the essence from body to Atma, the consciousness, then you understand I, the self, am Atma, which is of the nature of timelessness. I am timeless Atma, everlasting Atma. Then I am a mortal notion will resolve. Isn't it? Therefore, and because of this notion, there is a fundamental desire. And the fundamental desire results in what? All forms of disease. In fact, any number of diseases. As well, we can never undo, destroy, suppress disease. Because we are not creating our disease. Any desire, any number of desire of any individual is actually symptom of this disease of common human fundamental desire. That I want to live long, happily. This desire alone gets expressed in the form of so many diseases. Okay? Any number of diseases. All diseases are symptoms of this one desire. Once diseases come, and imagine, now we are not creating our disease. How can we undo our disease? You are not creating the disease, so you have no say over your disease. So these desires and the impel, desire results in action. Our actions are impelled by our desires. I want you to understand our helplessness. Helpless situation, we need to understand to surrender to Shastra study. So desires impel actions. The desire gets fulfilled, new desire comes. The desire does not get fulfilled, anger comes. Anyway, it doesn't allow you to be comfortable. There's always discomfort. once you perform the action, okay, you can only choose to do a given action, choose to refrain from some action, but you have no complete, you cannot say about for doing an action. We have to do our actions. Once you do the action, and there will be result. Every action definitely produces result. That is law of karma. When the result is there, the results again, they take their own time to fructify. So result has to be exhausted. No way of escaping from results. Results have to be exhausted. And the results may be, we may experience the results in this Janma. Sometimes the lifespan comes to an end, results will be there unexhausted. Okay. And to exhaust the result, you have to be born again. Again, you pick up the thread where you left. It continues. Again, go back, again, come back. So, ajnanam leads to adhyasa, adhyasa leads to adhyaropaha, adhyaropaha leads to, okay, asha, desire, okay, then ahankara, then karma, then result, then janma. Karma, then janma. This is how you are continuously kept in samsara. How is it now? Got understood now? How ajnanam leads to samsara. How you are reborn again. How there is rebirth again. I'm not saying you are born. How there is something called rebirth. Why there is rebirth? Rebirth itself. Again, you do not have any choice over not being born again. You cannot choose. Let me have some break for some time in Bahamas. No choice. Okay? Whether you like it or not, we will push somewhere. We will be born again. If we had choice, all of us would have already chosen not to be born. Or have been chosen to be born elsewhere. Chosen your parentage. Bhagavan will be getting emailed lots of emails and letters. I want this mother, this father. I don't want that place. No choice. No choice. Your parentage is not in your hands. Your place of birth is not in your hands. Understand? We are born. Why you are today? Because of karma. This is called samsara. Okay? Janma. This continues. Therefore, what is the moola karanam for samsara? Now you know what is samsara. Your janma, na? You are born here. Now you go through pairs of opposites. The same old problems. What is the moola karanam? Half ajnanam. Immediate cause of your being born is, what is the immediate cause for being born here? Karma. What is the root cause of your birth? Ajnanam, ignorance. Once you are born, and again, no choice. Pairs of opposites. Life of pairs of opposites. Nobody's life will be only life of pleasures alone. Nobody's life will be life of pain alone. Pains alone. Life will be life of pairs of opposites. The desirable situations are okay. Undesirable situations are not okay. Isn't it? And Shastra says, that is a samsara. That's why for this what you need is, you don't need to do anything. Just understand what this I is. This ajnanam is the moola karanam. Ignorance is not bad. It is not wrong. It is just naturally there. Understand, ignorance is naturally. So this partial knowledge, just understand what this I is, where does it come from, where does it exist, where does it resolve. Find out the source of I, truth of I, swarupam of I. Once you find out, discover, for which Shastram helps. And that source of I is the source of everything, the truth of everything, which is implied by the term Atma or Brahma. Therefore, discovering the source of I, the truth of I, is Atma Jnanam or Brahma Jnanam. So we have this Shravanam, Mananam. No, Shravanam helps you understand what Atma is, what Atma is not. Then Mananam helps you to dissolve the doubts, possible doubts, can be raised by people of different views, different schools of thought. You can have your clear doubt-free knowledge. Then that doubt-free knowledge, by repeatedly dwelling upon, you can have it assimilated. Once you have clear, doubt-free, assimilated, ascertained vision of what you are essentially, what this whole universe is essentially, when you understand the oneness of the truth of the individual, the total and the Lord. There is no Lord other than the truth. There is no universe other than the truth. There is no individual other than the truth. Now all this difference is only actually empirically there. Absolutely there is no difference, non-difference. When it becomes very clear, then the fundamental problem will resolve. The wrong notions will resolve. The wrong ignorance resolves. Ajnanam, when you understand what you are, the wrong notions, first of all ignorance goes. Ignorance caused adhyasa results. Adhyasa caused adhyaropa goes. Adhyaropa caused wrong notions will resolve. Even the fundamental desire will resolve. Isn't it? Everything is us. Even the notion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, I have punyam, I have papam, I am, all the notions will resolve. Then you see yourself being free from doership and enjoyership, no punyam, no papam, no prarabdha karma, no sanchita karma, no agam karma, you are free. You do not exhaust any karma here. Don't do anything to push the hanchita karma away. You know, you think you have sanchita karma. You think you have parabdha karma. You think you have agyami karma. It's all because of your identity. Wrong. You're not knowing what you are. Once you understand you are the Atma, the source of everything, where is punyam, papam, sukham, dukkham, everything for you? So sanchitam, agami, all karmas, you are free from all karmas. Understand this. Understand? This is called what? When this, your own surupam is brought into manifestation by discovering what you are, in the fragrance of your nature of fullness, the samsara resolves. Is it clear? Okay, that's what swabhavikam, swatmani adhyastam. It is not there. Just as sandalwood doesn't have foul smell, it has been incidentally created by its association with the water. Contact with the water. Similarly, you are essentially what? Fullness, happiness and peace. But the samsara, the limitations, the problems, the pain, etc. are aupadikam, incidental. They're caused by your association with the, identity with the anatma. And in jnanam, when identity is error in the perception is corrected, identity is resolved. Wrong identity goes, the problems caused by wrong identity also resolves. Is it clear? And what is said? Kartrutva bhoktrutva adi lakshanam, it goes. One is that is, not only the wrong notions centered on I resolve, even the knower known duality resolves. Where is the known world, which is mithya? Okay. I am the whole. Duality goes, plurality also resolves. Jagatyam
Prithivyam.
Now, here Jagatyam means on this Prithivyam, on this earth. So, Jagatyam iti, we know Jagatyam iti Upalakshanathatvat. The question may arise, only the things on this earth, objects on this earth are mithya? You may ask. So Shankara Bhagavatpada says here, Jagatyam iti upalakshana means, it is only by just by saying Jagat, Jagatyam, Jagat, it means the entire objective universe, including even the known, unknown worlds also. The worlds above, Shastram talks about the higher worlds. Those worlds are also to be included here. And the worlds below, anything other than yourself, whatever is here, okay, known and the unknown, everything is mithya. Nothing has existence independently. Without being dependent on your swarupam, nothing enjoys existence here. So, upalakshanarthatvat means, even this mentioning Jagat in everything on the earth actually implies everything here, whatever is here. Sarvameva Namarupa Karmakhyam Vikarajatam Paramartha Satyatma Bhavanaya Tyaktam Syat. Okay. Now he says, just what is Anatma? Now you know, Atma means what? Absolute reality, which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, implied by the term Atma. Is satyam. Is it satyam? What is anatma? Isn't it? The entire material objective universe, including your body, mind, sense complex. How can I say anatma prapanchaha? Anatma prapanchaha means the universe, the cosmos, which is which is object of knowledge, which shines in the presence of the reality in terms of consciousness. What is this anatma? Shankara says, namarupa karmakhyam vikarajatam. Namarupa karmakhyam vikarajatam. This particular expression in Brihadaranyakam, Shankara Bhagavatpada mentions, this universe can be reduced to three words. Now, how many libraries, how many books, how many departments, how many, so many things in the world, so many varieties of types of pleasures, enjoyable pleasures, objects, my God, innumerable countless forms indicated by innumerable countless words, associated with innumerable countless functions. Okay? Nama Rupa Karma. Reduce the whole word into three words. Nama Rupa Karma. This is objective universe. And this is what? Vikara Jatam. Vikara means what? Which is of the nature of subject to change. Which is subject to change. Which is of the nature of undergoing changes. It's a modification. And this universe, which is subject to change, has to be eliminated, removed by the clear vision of Atma. Satya Paramartha Satyatma Bhavanaya. Paramartha means absolute. Satyam reality. Paramartha Satyam absolute reality in terms of Atma. Paramartha Satya Atma Bhavanaya Namarupa Karmakyam Jagat Tyaktam Syat. Okay, may this entire world be negated, resolved as mithya by the clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the absolute reality. Bhavana means darshanam. If I tell you, may you remove or eliminate this ocean by the vision of water. Jala bhavanaya samudraha tyaktaha syat. What does it mean? Are you pushing the ocean somewhere? Physically you are not doing anything. Seeing water being, having the clear vision of water being the truth of ocean, you just say there is no ocean other than water. Similarly, by having the clear vision of Atma, you have pure knowledge. See, there is no jagat outside of knowledge. Is it clear? This understanding is what? So in the light of the knowledge of the truth, you resolve the universe in the very truth. Resolving cognitively, resolving universe in the truth is what? Negating the universe as mithya. When you negate universe as mithya, when you mean universe is as good as non-existent. What is only the truth. Let me tell you one example I give you here. Water, ocean. What do you see there? You will say, we all see two things. Okay, you can have three things. Water. Another thing we see is ocean. Another thing we see in this part of the ocean is what? Many waves. Many waves. Here, can you say, I see water and the ocean and the waves? Can you say that? You cannot say. And itself, the expression and itself cannot be used. You can use and only when things, more than one thing, two different things are there. I can say there are two mics here, isn't it? Because a mic is, table is, water bottle is, there is here, there is a water bottle and the table and the mic, I can say. If I take away the water bottle, still the mic can be there. If I take the water bottle away, mic will not disappear. If mic is taken away, still the table will be there. So, existence of table is not dependent on the existence of mic. Or existence of mic is not dependent on the existence of water bottle. They are all independently existent, relatively absent. So they are countable. I can count 1, 2, 3, 4, the 5 things are here. When can I count them as number 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? If every object is independent of the other object, then that object is countable object. Isn't it? Countable object. So similarly, can I say I see wave, ocean and water? If we take, imagine, we don't really physically remove the water, but I just ask you to imagine. Imagine if you remove the water, will there be ocean? Will there be waves? Ocean cannot exist, ocean and the waves cannot exist independent of the water. Ocean cannot be counted as a parallel thing, parallel to water. So we can say water is one thing which is countable. Why? Water is only one thing. Water is not dependent on the ocean for its existence. Therefore, water is one. Ocean is not countable. Why? It is not, doesn't have independent existence. Therefore, water is not the ocean, not the waves, but the ocean and the waves are nothing but water, appearance of the water. Therefore, what is only water. The entire ocean is water. The last statement is very important. The entire ocean is water means physically without doing anything, cognitively, intellectually, we have resolved the ocean in water. The truth. Okay? This is called covering. Similarly, and what about this whole universe? Five elements, the elemental products, mobile beings, immobile beings, all actions, the results of actions, the laws which determine the results of actions, the experience of pains and pleasures, sanchita karma, agami karma, parabdha karma, birth, death, in between birth and death, pairs of opposites. It's all time and space. What about time? What about space? Time and space. And all the forms, names and functions which exist within the realm of time and space is the entire objective universe is mithya. It doesn't have independent existence outside of the reality, consciousness, Atma. Okay? You can say just as how you can say entire ocean is water, the whole Namarupa Karmakyam Jagat, this universe which is constituted of innumerable, countless forms, names and functions is nothing but Atma. Atma, the consciousness, is not the world, but the world is nothing but appearance of manifestation of knowledge. Okay, world is not countable, world is not parallel reality. You can't say Atma and Anatma are there. You can't say. Atma and the world is no. Why you can't say that? because anatma is non-countable. Just as with reference to ocean, ocean is not form, name, function called ocean is not countable because it doesn't have independent existence. Similarly here, the universe, the world, okay, all these forms, names and functions which constitute the universe are not countable. As parallel reality, they are as good as non-existent. They do not have independent existence. So, Atma is not, the Atma in the form of the Lord. There is no Lord but there the Atma. Okay? Atma in the form of the Ishvara is not the universe. But the whole universe is Atma, Ishvara. Now you have cognitively resolved the universe in Atma. Physically you have not done anything. Okay? Cognitively, intellectually you have resolved the universe in Brahma, Atma, Paramatma. There is neither you nor the world, neither the knower nor the known. There is only knowledge. Knowledge is in the form of knower. Knowledge is in the form of the known world. I mean, see, the pure knowledge, the source of knowledge, the reality implied by the term Atma, is neither the knower nor the known. But the knower is Atma, known is also the Atma. There is no knower other than the Atma. There is no known which exists outside of the Atma. The standpoint of Atma, there is no dvaitam. There is no duality. There is no knower known division. What is Atma? Only reality. This is second reality. Secondless reality. Non-dual reality. I'll come back tomorrow morning fresh. I'll take up. Because one secondless, non-dual, we'll talk tomorrow. We have covered what today? Still the first line. I'm sorry about it. Is called Ishavasyam. The whole universe has to be covered with the vision of Atma. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnah Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Rubhyo Namaha Hari Om.